You know, and especially this one. Because this is my responsibility or whatever that is that God has placed, and I'm so honored to be able to do this. But it's these things that, you know, we've got to touch upon these, I think. And as we get into these latter days, you'll find in scriptures, and if we get to that scripture when it spoke of in the latter times, and it's these days that we're in right now. You know, it's right where we're at. It's the second coming of the Lord when that time comes. And there's got to be a lot of things fulfilled before he comes. Don't you believe that? Why is that? Because the word says so. You know, you believe the word, you're going to believe that. And so we might just be on the cusp of what's going on. We might be in the middle of it. We might be towards the end of it. I don't have any definite things there other than I just know that things are happening. And then just the crazier it gets, the crazier it makes you think like, wow, it's got to be now, you know. And I don't know other than it does say more and more that it grows darker and darker towards that time. And it's kind of crazy to think that we've already seen so much change in our country that how much more can change. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, that there's going to be a tremendously a lot more changing in our country than what we see today. And it's going to get just really crazy out there. But we've got to be prepared. And I don't run prepared, scared, and running from it in fear because I know who I'm in Christ. But I've got to look at it, and we all need to look at it to say, but I've got to make sure I stay strong in the things of Him. And each one of you here today need to be strong in the things of Him of today because you're going to need that strength plus more, 10 times more maybe, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, whatever the case is that we get into. And so we got into this thing of the falling away, the backsliding, the slider, the apostasy of the things, and that's all in God's Word. And we touched upon it last week at the start of it, and 2 Thessalonians talked about the apostasy, and it tells you there, we've got to see it, and it will happen. Maybe it's happening today, I would imagine, and it's beginning. But I think we're probably just on the cusp of just the beginning of it. We're seeing the numbers in their churches kind of decline. I looked just today on some numbers and things, and there's like a year or two old. But they're looking at how, you know, in the mainline religions and things, where numbers are dropping from whatever percent down 3 point something, or they drop 4 points or 5 points. Those that are associated with unaffiliated anything, that rose by, 3.1%. So we're beginning to see these numbers shifting from the church, the organized church, and we fall into that area. And, you know, they talk about the evangelicals, they talk about the Catholic, they talk about, you know, the mainline type thing. And even we kind of fall in that evangelical type thing. And so we're seeing numbers here and there shifting back and forth. And so what I've got to look at is how do I protect myself from doing that slide? Do you ever look upon yourself thinking like, how do I protect myself from going down that slippery slope? Well, the one thing that we've got to look at and be aware of is those times of compromising. Once you begin to compromise something, it's hard to turn back. Because compromising will just take you into the next compromise. And the next compromise. And pretty soon you're going, well, it's not so bad. I guess they know more than me. I don't know this, that, and the other. They're much more smarter than I am. They know more than I do. They've got all the answers. I don't. Maybe they got something that I don't know. And so we begin to compromise with people of those of knowledge that distort the truth of God. And we got to know that there's people out there that are well educated, but they're well educated by Satan, really, to be able to destroy the words, the promises, and the things of God, because they'll make you begin to second guess these things because it doesn't make sense. Right. Well, I don't need a professor to tell me that because God's Word, in my basic reading of God's Word, tells me that it's foolishness to those who are not of the cross. And so when the professor says that to me, I say, well, you've just pointed out the truth of God's Word. You're saying it's not possible. You don't understand it. So we, as his followers, and it's not like we're wacko people, like we're just being led to slaughter, you know, and we're just taking a hold of something and following it. If you get into God's Word and put it into your spirit, into your soul, into your life, and study it and read it and go to it and pray and meditate and listen to God, And it's very important, and I hope everyone in here today, you've got to have the Holy Spirit in you. The 15th of May, is it? I think it's the third Sunday into May, is Pentecost Sunday. That was a powerful time in the church. That's when the church became the church. And we'll kind of get towards that in that day of Pentecost. That's the day that the Holy Spirit descended to the earth. And that's when things began to fill with him. He began to become active. That's why when Jesus said that he must go so that he could come, there was all these things that had to take place for this thing to come about. And that thing is being of that of the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us and to lead us and to be with us. Because we know that Jesus couldn't be everywhere at the same time, you know, to the point of fleshly and the physical. But we know that the Holy Spirit can. That's why we love the Trinity. That's why we're part of that. We believe the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, the three in one. They all have their place. So we've got to be careful we don't get into churches and things that discount this and discount that and throw this out and throw that out. Because our church here is based upon the Trinity. We believe in the Father. We believe in the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you guys, if you don't have all three of those, you're missing something. You know, because if you have just God and you throw out the rest, you're missing a lot. You know, and if you just go with the Spirit, well, you're missing a lot if you don't understand what Jesus did for you. Because the Holy Spirit didn't die for your sins. Jesus died for our sins to make us cleansed. So, you know, you've got to have the whole package. Anybody go buy something at the store and you say, well, I need three things to make this thing work? Well, no, I'll just take one of them. No! I don't know. Help me, Lord. What are we thinking of? Yeah, you could draw us into that. But those are the things that we are needing to be paying attention to so that we don't have that falling away. I don't want to fall away from my God. I don't want to fall away from the things that he's brought me out of and to fall back into where I came from. You know, because I've shared last week, and we'll try to throw out some scriptures here. But, you know, when we have been taught to know right from wrong, don't go back to wrong. Because then you're pretty well blaspheming. You're just telling, well, it was no of use of what Jesus did. It was no of, I don't believe, I don't trust that anymore. Something else has come my way. You know, and we start getting into this, there's conversations and people wonder, well, what is this blasphemy? You know, there's no turning back. There is no forgiveness for that type thing. I've looked at several different ways of that, and we can't really get into that today. But one of the main things is basically people that deny what Jesus did for them. You know, he came for you. He came to remove your sins. And you deny that. You say there was no such thing. There was no Son of God. He was just a mere man or whatever the case might be. That could be part of that blasphemy because you're saying what God said he did, you don't believe, and you're contradicting God. That's going against him. You know, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and all these things that God has done and put for us that we begin to walk away from or deny. It's easy to understand, and you can forgive those that don't have a learning understanding of what God did, the lost. We've got that challenge before us to go out and spread this good news. It's a challenge for all of us, wherever we're at, wherever God has put us, to show that good news to those people out there, and hopefully it takes root. Maybe you're planting, maybe you're just breaking ground, maybe you're watering. I don't know what you're doing in that person's life. And you know what? You shouldn't be worried about it either. You just do what God has asked you to do. When the Holy Spirit, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, gives us these things to say to that person at the proper time and what they really need to hear if we allow the Lord to work through us. And we don't get ahead of the Lord or we don't fall behind him. Because I think as we look at things, we are on a fast track. We're on. Everything is working. The Lord has put all this in place and everything's going. And we're not, you know, only by the grace, if we can just say, Lord, you know, help us and we can repent and forgive us and don't come back yet until we're ready. Well, society in general will never be totally ready. We'll always have people outside that realm of understanding of what Christ is all about. And we'll always have this fighting back and forth. The thing is, we've got to do is say, Lord, many of us say, Lord, come back quickly now. Well, that ain't going to work, unless it's his timetable anyway, but we think we can call him down, you know, down like that. Come on now, Lord, it's enough. But we've got to be here. We are his people. We've been given a wonderful opportunity, a great challenge. But the thing that we are doing and the things that we've got to do, I'm so thankful that I don't do it on my own strength. If you try to labor yourself and you try to make it work and you try to make all this happen, you will be frustrated, wore out, and disgruntled and discouraged. We just have to do what the Lord has impressed upon us to do when he's asked us to do it. I think one of the most important things we got to look at is, but you got to stay hooked up to him. You can't allow the things of this world to come in and just take it away. So we talked a little bit about the apostasy, and that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You can kind of read through that. There's talks about that in Peter. There is shared throughout that of throughout the New Testament. One of the areas that I found interesting of some of the examples in the New Testament is, just go to John. This is a subject that I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on for weeks and weeks and weeks, but it's also something that I don't want to rush through on because we just need to be aware of some of these things. And I'm sure you guys already have read it yourselves, and I'm probably speaking to the choir, but we just need to be reminded. I found this very interesting. What does the 666 represent? The devil. Amen. The devil. So go to John 6:66. Now Jesus is there sharing with his disciples. This is coming into the area where he's rejected by his own. Even back then, with Jesus in the flesh, with his disciples, with those that he was telling and sharing what was going to be and come about, there were those at that time, even then, that rejected him. And we find that today, to where even people that were followers of Christ, maybe for the last 10 years, 15 years, whatever the case might be, whatever the time frame is, we find them as well rejecting him and going back. But if I look at John 6:66, we get into this level here where my heading here at 60 says, many disciples turning away. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, and this is he was saying, we're going to have this today. He was talking of communion. He was talking about the bread, breaking of the bread, breaking of the body, eating the body and the blood and the drinking and the juice and all that. If you look before that, talks about the communion, my flesh, eat my flesh, drink my blood. They didn't understand it back that time, but he was talking in the spiritual side of things as far as receiving him and taking the things that he has for us. But they were looking at it as the flesh, thinking, oh, that's cannibalistic. That's, I'm going to eat somebody's body. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is hard saying. Who can understand it? Has anybody had that today or the last few years? Wow, Lord, what I just read and what you've really impressed upon me through the Holy Spirit, I'm learning this thing, it's really hard to understand. When that happens, just say, help me understand it. Help me with my unbelief. Help me understand what you want me to understand. Do it that way rather than walking away from it saying it's too hard to understand. We get to that point. If I don't understand it, it's taking too much of my thoughts, oh, forget it. I'll just go over here and do this. We can't do that with God and God's word and what Jesus is telling us. This is so hard. This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, complaining could also be grumbling, you know. He said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. 65, and he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to them by my Father. From that time, 66. From that time, what happened to his disciples? Many of his disciples. It says in mine, they went back and they walked with him no more. When Jesus was explaining these things to help them have an understanding of what this is all going to be about, and they got a little into the point of they were kind of looking at it in the natural and trying to compare it that way. Now we know that the things that we deal with the things of God and the Holy Spirit is all by that of what? The Spirit. Now we have phenomenal things happen in the natural to the things that, you know, somebody needs a job and they've been out of job and we pray and all of a sudden a job comes that way, and it was like a miraculous thing because it's like all of a sudden this opened up and I've been there before and I don't know what happened, but boom, I got called in, I got the job, or whatever the case might be. We see the effects of God. I have seen the effects of God in my natural life. Have you? Okay. So we do see evidence of those things happening in our lives, but a lot of this all starts where? Through the spirit realm. Breaking through the spirit realm of what the devil's trying to hold back from you or trying to stand against between you and God. Those spiritual forces out there, if he can do it just enough to get you discouraged, down, and frustrated, and if he can do it just long enough to where you turn away from him, turn away from God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the three in one, if you just turn away from everything that God's got for you, the devil loves that. That's what we could look at as possibly that backsliding, that apostasy that people get. And this thing is the apostasy. It's a lot of things. It's men coming into the church. And a lot of Paul was writing into these churches is that a lot of this stuff was coming into these churches back then. Remember, you know, after Pentecost, all of a sudden this stuff was happening. The churches were developing. That's when the church began to come about. But yet then as soon as that happened, the devil was in there sowing discord and putting men in there. And some of them were understanding of the whole thing, and at one time were sharing the truth and standing on that, but then they got within themselves changed. Somehow something in them tilted back, and they began to sow discontentment things and things against God. We find some of those at the time of doing these to where one person in the Bible talks about where they denied as far as the second coming. They said the second coming's already come. When that happened, you know, God had to put them aside and no longer, you know, got them out of the church. So we find that of today. And that's the cautiousness of today where we're at. You know, we look at all of our churches around the community and the nation, and we look at some that are saying, well, the numbers are down and this is happening, but this over here is growing. The numbers don't tell the whole story. Seats, bodies in the seat don't tell the whole story, do they? You know, we can say, well, why is that church saying that people are running from the church and the church is declining? But, wow, this big church came to town and now they got 1,200 or 2,000 or 5,000 people. Looks to me like the church is growing. That would be great if all 5,000 of those people, and, you know, I don't know where they would all be. You know, I'm just throwing this out there, that we can't look at the numbers and say it's growing to think that everybody's on the same plateau or level we're going at or for us. And we got to watch ourselves, you know. So we got to be careful that we don't go, well, it seems like the numbers are growing, the Christianity is growing, it's developing. No, because there could be things there that are not truly believing. You know, you can't get into all that. And I love, and after I read this one book in regards to small church and mega church, we need them both. And it's not to be down on just a large church because they're large, you know. Praise God for that. You know, we need large churches, big churches, because they get the attention. They can really get some things going out there, hopefully, you know, being led by that of the Spirit of God, you know, and that man doesn't get in there and start manipulating some things. Because we've also heard and seen things in the news the last 5 years or so back where some very large churches out there where all of a sudden, you know, this pastor that has a great following and has books out there, all of a sudden they change some things of doctrinal issues, and it's like, what? You know? I can't think of what it was, but it was a church out in the Northwest, and this guy had quite a church and all that. And whatever I can't remember now what it was, but I think after that everything kind of went like this. It's like, what's this guy talking about? You know? So you've got to watch this, and it's a danger that we all live in. I mean, even small church pastors, I could fall into that. It's just that I don't have 5,000 people here. I don't have that notoriety out there that the news or magazines will write on and saying, that big pastor from that church of Harvester's Church of 10,000 people said this. Can you believe that? But that Pastor Tim from that church of 30, he said that. Can you believe what he just did with the Word of God and how he distorted it, or he took out the power of it and changed some things around? So I would tell you today to be cautious even where you're at today. You know, I trust and I hope in my spirit that I stay hooked up to him, you know, and that we throw out these things of identifiers to be watchful of. The thing you'd be watchful of is when they start getting away from the things of the Bible and start sanitizing the things of the Bible to make it sound really good for the days that we're in. That's the thing that you better be cautious of. And when that happens, either first go into prayer for that pastor or for that leadership that they get back into the focus of the things of God, or that, you know, the Lord will deal with that, or you might need to leave. I don't know, you know, that particular setting. So at the time, Jesus, we saw that in John, because of some things that he was explaining to them. They go, this is hard to understand. So rather than sit there and try to understand it and gain knowledge, they just left. The early church is the same way. 2 Peter, I don't know, I got several scriptures here, but I'm not going to have time to go through all of them. 2 Peter, maybe 2:20. Deceptions of false teachers in verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who lived in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled to them and overcome. The latter end is worse than that of the beginning. What this is telling me is as we grow and develop into things of God, is God is looking for us to keep growing and developing with him. To begin to know, as we first said the sinner's prayer, did I have an understanding totally of what God was and what he was telling me and sharing with me at that time through Jesus Christ? No. But as I sat with different teachers of the Word and Bible studies on Wednesdays and going to Sunday nights and then personal things of looking at the Scriptures, things began to click. Things began to come to understanding of what I understand what he's talking about now. I got to find out what Jesus is talking about. You know, find out what God is about. Do really well with that in the Old Testament. Then you get into the New Testament, you find out, well, let's see a little bit about what Jesus is about and what he did, and I want to follow him. I want to be an example of what he was doing and the compassion and the love that he was about. That's the next step that we go into. And then when Jesus started talking about the Holy Spirit, that hit me that I've got to learn about the Holy Spirit. And I imagine that's the same for all of us, I would hope. I'm not special. But there's ways that God works through us and develops in us, and it's just a progression of growing with him. We've talked about that the last year or two, about perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints. We have to. He's expecting us to mature, just like you expect your children to mature. You know, you can only be a child so long. Sad thing is, in our society in the natural, you can see children in the bodies of people that are 30 or 40 years old or 25 or whatever the age out there, just by the way they act and the way they handle things. They've not grown up. It's like, when are you going to grow up? We can say that same thing in our churches. When are you going to grow up? You got everything you need right here in the Scriptures to help you grow, to develop. And you know what's the greatest thing about that is? Just allow the Holy Spirit to move in on you and help you understand things. Because that's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He would come to, he had to leave so the Holy Spirit could come. And one of the things that's wonderful that the Holy Spirit's going to do, he's going to lead us into truth. He's going to share truth with us. Just like that. And that's what we need today. And we've spoken on this, and we keep hitting the same thing. But truth is not in today's life. Truth is not in the vernacular of a lot of our nation, of political things, of news things, of anybody out there that's out there in schools, colleges. Truth is not out there anymore. Well, you get away from truth and it's just here again. It's almost like our society is in apostasy. You know, we are in an apostasy, backslidden, falling away of common morals that humans should understand. And we're all still humans here, but somehow some people have gotten into our humanness side of things and made people think like, I know what I'm talking about, this is what you need to do. So sad that those people that have such a attention given, drawing to people that come to them and they buy their books and they read their stories and they watch their videos, many of these people that come to those levels of, this is what you need to do to raise your children, it's only after they are up in age that they look back and they go, gee, guess what? I was wrong. I was wrong. But yet, for 20, 25, 30 years, they indoctrinated this nation with what they said was the way to train up a child or teach a child or handle children. Yep. I don't even think they even had any children themselves, did they? I don't know the whole background of them. I don't even know. Was that Masters and Johnson or something? Or Dr. Spock. I don't know. Did they have any? Did they have any?
I think he did.
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of friends that were raising kids at my time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't understand why. Common sense tells me, am I going to take advice from somebody that does not even have what they're talking about? Am I going to go? My car is not working right. Common sense, go to a mechanic. Worldly way, say, go to this guy that doesn't know anything about cars, doesn't even own one, and say, hey, what's it mean when the engine goes... You know? The guy said, could you do that for me one more time? What's it sound like? I got it. This is what you need to do. Okay, I'll do it. Sounds like you got to clog something. But why? How do we do that? How do we get into that level of going to people that don't have this, but they're going to teach you on how to do it? My goodness. I can teach or speak on raising kids. I had four. I can speak and talk about being married because I'm married. You know? Not that it'd all be good, you know. I've had a lot of failures. How about you, you know? But at least talk to somebody that's been in the same area that you're dealing with.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Well, that makes too much sense. Well, as I go into the things of God, I want to learn more about God. Well, who am I going to get close to? Jesus. Amen. Jesus, Son of God. That's the one I'm going to go to. Now, Jesus is saying to the Holy Spirit, well, who am I going to go to? I'm going to learn about that. I'm going to go to the Holy Spirit. Say, okay, this is what the Word says. What is this all about, Spirit? What are you going to do now, Lord? Oh, hallelujah. And that's what we want in our church services, is the coming down of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God comes by that of the Spirit into us. And His Spirit moves mightily through the congregations of His churches. And He does have churches out there. I want to count ourselves as one of them. Because I want that freedom. I want Him to come. I want Him to take His time and do what He needs to do and have that opportunity to share Himself with us. He wants to share Himself with you today. Isn't that awesome? Goodness. What is Matthew 24:12? Is that something you want to look at? The signs and the ends of the times of age. Yeah, we're living them. Isn't that great that you're living in the time that this is all talking about? Wow, you can look at it and say, that's right, that's right. Wow, that's good. Woo, how did he know that back then? Wow, he must be God. The signs of the times of the end of the age. He's going through all of this stuff. And he's sitting on the Mount of Olives talking to the disciples. My goodness. 11, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But, what's this now? He who does what? Endure. Are you going to be an endurer? Are you going to endure to the end? I hope so. I hope so. I want to. Do you have that want to be an endurer? To the end shall be saved. Amen. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then what happens? The end comes. Now we're getting into that of the great tribulation. Was it 24:12? I wanted to get it. Did I already 24:12? Did I already pass that by? Oh, 24:12. And lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Then we get into the great tribulations and talking about these things. I guess some of us are going to fall away even before the great tribulation because we're going to backslide. We're going to be apostates. We're going to walk away from the things and the knowledge of what we've been told and what we've learned through understanding the things of God. And then, you know, we got this tribulation coming along too. What a time that's going to be. So the Bible tells us about all of these things to be ready, to be watchful. And then to understand what's happening, just read here and to begin to see many things in the scriptures talks about how men will become lovers of themselves, how things will take over society, how there won't be love for one another. It'll just be everything, and it gets back to, well, what is truth? And if we get away from what is truth, what is right from wrong? That's the thing that everybody shows out or throws out there, my rights, my rights, my rights. We all have rights, but we got to be careful with that. A society can't live on everybody having their own individual rights because anarchy. I was sharing somewhere with somebody. Oh, just this week. About these things that, you know, the media, really, if we would pay attention to Hollywood, they're right on. They're almost like this to a point. They are out there showing things in a society that's happening and will happen. You know, you go way back to the times of the science fiction or sci-fi things that they showed. How many things that they had going back there about going to the moon and going to Mars, people looked back there going, well, that'll never happen. But it happens. There's something how, and I guess it's the imagination of man, that God does put an imagination into us and he works with these people. Believe it or not, even these people in Hollywood, they've been created by God. They're in the image of God. And they've got something in them that they can put to graphic things and shows and things. And if we would just pay attention to those things, it kind of gives you a warning in the visual of our time as to what the Word of God says in his scriptures. I don't watch it, but I see the commercials and I see a lot of this. Does anybody, what is this thing about Sons of Anarchy? Some of the things that I see about it, I don't think I want to watch. Is it showing like a civilization just going against itself? They've taken New York and it's down and all these people and you got these people here fighting for this and fighting for that and they show scenes, if I'm thinking of the right show, where buildings are smoking and damaged and things and it's this like anarchy taking place. It's like, oh my gosh. Visually, right there from Hollywood. So if they were back in the 50s and the 60s talking about these space programs and all this stuff and things happening, and it came about, wouldn't it be just quite interesting that as in 2015, 14, I don't know when these shows have come out, it seems like within the last 5 years they've really been coming on this type of civilization unrest and just people just, I don't know, destroying a civilization, really. Is that us another 25, 30 years from here? Well, probably, because this is what the Bible says. So you can get an image in your mind if you really want to say, well, what's this really going to look like? I can read his word and it's, wow, sounds terrible. But then just watch one of these shows that Hollywood's putting out here and you're probably getting a fairly close image of what it's going to be like, and it ain't going to be good. But God will take care of his own. And we are his own. I hope you count yourself as part of his own. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're doing your best to serve him daily. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. There's still a lot of rough edges around me that are being worked on and being kind of changed and rounded and where it was square or whatever the case might be. So I'm not saying that we're perfect people. But if we desire to be that, that's a start. If you give up and say, well, I'm not going to be perfect, I'm not even going to try, well, then you've failed. And you're going to just allow whatever happens is going to happen. But I want to continue to be working with God. I want God to be working with me and continue to learn and grow and develop in the things that he has. I want to stand strong for him. I want to honor him. I want to respect him. I want to say that he is my God and that he is in control, believe it or not. Now, we think he's not with all this craziness happening in the world, but guys, he's in control. Because it's just a matter of whatever, a snap of the fingers, twinge of his nose, a blink of his eye, things can happen. As I was wrapping this up here, we'll probably take up in a couple of weeks out from this. I want to have you guys come together.